Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad John Shire's here, too. John's joining us all the way from Toronto. He's a senior security expert at Sophos, and he's brought us the 2021 threat report for cybersecurity. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I got something else I want to ask you first. John Shire, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be back.
Good to have you back. So we just had Thanksgiving Day celebration, the Thanksgiving holiday in America, John, as I know you know all about. And it's a big deal in America because it is our national holiday. It's not religious. We trace it all the way back to what we consider to be the founding headwaters of who we are, the Mayflower group, the Plymouth Colony, and it's a big deal in America. We take off 2 days, most people do, a long weekend, and it's the same time every year. It doesn't move around like some holidays do. But a lot of people may not realize that America doesn't own that franchise. Canada has a Thanksgiving Day. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Canada's had a Thanksgiving Day since probably the late 1800s, and we celebrate it a lot earlier in the year, well, by about a month or so, depending on when it falls, than you guys. And for us, the reason it's earlier, it's the second Monday of October, because it's earlier because, you know, we're further north and the harvest starts a little sooner for us. And so that's really what our Thanksgiving is all about, is to give thanks for the harvest. And yeah, it's very much in the same vein as you guys, which is getting together with family, friends and family, having the big turkey dinner and all the fixins and all that kind of stuff, and just, you know, eating too much and having a good time and enjoying a day off, really.
Well, and of course, the origins of our first successful colony was kind of political, religious and political. We were breaking away. Those colonists were breaking away. They were really kind of revolting from the Church of England. Much of them were, the separatists were. But yours is really just a true Thanksgiving, right? There's no political issue element of it to it at all, is there?
Oh, I'm sure you can politicize anything, but yeah, for the most part, we do try to just align ourselves with the traditional harvest and kind of go from there. But we've got our own version of football up here too. That I know you guys watch football on Thanksgiving. We watch the CFL, the Canadian Football League. So
right,
there's that as well.
You got that bigger field, don't you? It's bigger so what's a typical meal on a Canadian Thanksgiving?
For us, it's, you know, the turkey is non-negotiable, and then mashed potatoes and spinach madeleine and
time out. What is spinach madeleine?
That is it's a very low-calorie dish that involves basically a lot of cheese, some jalapenos, and some spinach.
Ooh,
all kind of mixed together.
Go ahead.
A bit of like a spinach dip you'd get in the restaurant. Then you put a little bit of a breadcrumb crust on top of that.
Sounds like a little Latin influence in it there too. So, but you said baked yams. You mean sweet potatoes, right?
Oh, sweet potatoes. Yeah, sweet potatoes. Yams. I know yams aren't exactly sweet potatoes, and sweet potatoes aren't yams. But yes, they're sweet potatoes.
Okay. What
I don't eat those. They're too sweet for me.
What's for dessert?
Dessert? That's a good question. Pumpkin pie, actually. I shouldn't even have to think about that. Pumpkin pie, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for that report. Let's get to the report. The Sophos 2021 threat report. You're looking into the next year. 2020 has been pretty bad because the coronavirus, the lockdown, people going to their homes where they're less secure to work. It's been pretty good field day for the bad guys, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, the pandemic certainly has had an outsized impact on cybersecurity across the world this year. As you said, people were now working from their homes, which meant that there needed to be a way for them to communicate back with the office, you know, from a technological standpoint. So a lot of people started investing more into things like VPNs and the cyber criminals. They thought, well, hey, this is a great time to start using all these vulnerabilities that exist in VPNs these days.
Right.
You know, there were a few different makers that had vulnerabilities, and so they were aggressively going after those to harvest credentials. And we know when they harvest credentials, they then use them for something else.
Right.
But there's a positive as well, because, you know, going into this pandemic and having to rethink the way we do work and the way we do, you know, telecommuting, it's given some companies some opportunities to think about things like zero trust networking, which is basically you're taking the perimeter from, you know, the hard perimeter around the organization and bringing it to the individual. And now you're saying, well, as long as the individual is who I think they are based on some, you know, some technology that you put in place, it doesn't matter where they are. And that really is a positive. So we're seeing people getting, you know, budget to do extra things, do things that they couldn't do in
what
the
is,
past.
What is that look? What would be pandemic. Those steps that you would take to get zero trust networking? What would be the specific technical steps?
Yeah, it gets implemented in a few different ways. But, you know, one of the ways that you want to do that is you're going to have some sort of endpoint, you know, whether it's your laptop, your desktop, your mobile phone, that is going to be identifying itself as a trusted device, and then you're going to have a user that's going to identify themselves as a trusted user. So the trusted device
right.
could be
so
a using a certificate for that.
There's a handshake.
Yeah, there's a handshake. There's a certificate that proves the device is the device you think it is. And then there's the authentication, which you get your username, your
but
password.
Still,
you might have a
still
user certificate.
That still doesn't save you from somebody clicking on some kind of spear phishing.
No, and that's why you've got the security technologies on top of that, you know, like
right.
Sophos endpoint technology that's there to make sure that if something bad does come onto that particular endpoint,
right.
that it gets taken care of as well.
Right, yeah. So, folks, this is the thing that people didn't think about in the beginning that they had to think about during the year. We sent everybody home, John, but when they got home, they you know, a lot of people work in the office on a network. So they go home and they're working on their kid's laptop, which who knows what it's got on it. You know, I get all kinds of email from people who I'm surprised to realize that they've been compromised. I get an email from them and it has nothing but a stupid bad link in it. You know, I mean, this has become, there's no telling. You're going to report on this probably next year, John, how much more money the cyber criminals made in 2020 than they would have otherwise. When we come back, we're going to talk about 2021. What do you need to do to be safe and secure online in 2021? Right back with John Shire. He's with Sophos. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.